Housie's friends from Benjamin Franklin Plumbing are here to talk changes in the plumbing industry. New regulations for water heaters are in place. We've got the experts here to tell you what that means for you. You're tuned to Rosie on the House.
Testing 1, 2. I don't like change, and I don't like it when he's pushing my buttons.
Well, I think Mike thinks in lyrics, don't you?
I don't. Sometimes I don't know how he thinks.
That was fair. Mike on.
You did get an email complimenting you this week on your performance there behind the glass.
And then I leave your mic off because I didn't warn you about the rejoiner, so I didn't want you to talk over it, so I was trying to save you, and then I'm like, why isn't he talking yet? I'm like, oh, because you don't have his mic on. One success, well, what? That's my life. One step forward, two steps back.
Pride goes before a fall, something, I don't know.
All right. We're here at Rosie on the House, so we're talking plumbing in particular this hour. As those of you who are regular listeners of the show the last 27, 28 years know, plumbing is not one of my specialties. It's not my forte. I've always said that plumbers are hugely underpaid. You have to be a contortionist. You have to have a truck that's the equivalent of like a, you know, 18-wheeler to cover. Is that a 1/8 ID or is that 1/8 OD? Is that a 3/16 or a 7/32? And you have to have, you know, 17 million different types of gaskets. And is that a flange fitting or is that a sweat fitting? Oh, man. How do you get into the plumbing business, Chris? How do you do that?
I needed a job.
And it was the first one available?
Yes.
Okay. Man, you guys have it tough. Plumbing, I think plumbing is one of the toughest trades on the planet. Give me concrete finishing any day. I love concrete finishing. I would make a horrible plumber.
I like plumbing. I think it's more like a puzzle, so I like figuring that out.
Yeah, you got that right, man.
Our son William thinks it's artwork. You know, he's everyone's different, and it's you have to think it through. It's like you said, puzzle art.
You know, a plumbing repair, plumbing job for me, 90% of the time, it's called windshield time. I'm driving back and forth, changing the 7/32 inside diameter to a 9/16 outside diameter gasket that is shaped the way it's supposed to. Is it a cone shape or is it a waffle shape or is it a flat shape?
I know your problem.
What is it?
You think too much.
I thought you were going to say he needs a plumber.
Yeah. All right. Let's see if we can take some calls because we've got a lot of people on hold waiting to talk to you. Let's see if we can go to Carmen first. He wants to go to the question we started the show with. Good morning, Carmen.
It's Carmine.
Carmine, how are you, sir?
All right.
All right. What's your question?
I got a question to ask you.
Okay.
What is the difference between that PEC piping and copper piping?
Now, why are you asking? Are you building a new home? Are you having to replumb your home?
No, I'm looking at homes in Arizona.
Okay.
And I don't know what the codes are here, but I'm from California.
Okay.
And the code for California is copper. The house.
Okay, hold on, Carmine. We've got into a bad spot of coverage here in your cell phone. Coming in from California, looking at buying a home. In buying the home, he's researching the criteria of the plumbing system. Some are copper, some are flex.
Pets. Well, if it's a new home, you're probably going to have a hard time finding them built in copper. So if you're new, you're probably going to have pecs in the home. I don't know about the production in homes around here if they're even using copper anymore.
Okay.
I like PECs a lot. I know in California they didn't pass that PECs was approved. I think they have now, though. Last time I read an article on that, I think it's been passed in California. And it's been around a long time, 30, 40 years in Europe that they've been using it. And so the failure rate is real low.
The downside, too, and I use the word flex intentionally, We had a prior generation of a flex product, polybutyl, which was an enormous disaster, right, Chris?
Yeah, that was a nightmare.
Yeah, and that was primarily just fittings that just didn't perform and flooded houses or a class action suit. And if you're shopping for a home, you do want, Carmine, to triple verify that the piping in the house is not polybutyl. Flex is okay. Copper's okay. I'm a copper fan. With the PEX, what are some of the things he's going to experience? I mean, we run that all above ground. We run it a lot in the attic.
The only negative is if your cold water won't be quite as cold in the summer months.
It'll always be warm.
That's being nice.
I know people that actually install a water heater and don't connect it, and they bring the cold water in and let that just be a cooling tower, let it just reach room temperature before it distributes into the house.
Yeah. If I was going to do PEX like a custom home of my own, I would see if I couldn't conduit and then pull the PEX through the conduit under the ground.
Do a 1 or 1.5 inch electric conduit underground and then just pull the PEX lines through that.
Yeah, I don't know if the city would approve that or not, but that's what I would ask for. And it's interesting because a lot of states, like I know Texas and quite a few others, they'll allow PEX to go right in the ground like copper used to be and come right through the concrete.
They allow a lot of things in Texas.
That's true.
All right, let's get down to Jim in Tucson. He's got a question on servicing water heaters that I think all Arizona homeowners would benefit and learn from to hear this question and answer. Good morning, Jim. Thanks for calling from Tucson.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Super fantabulous.
Yeah, I live in a mobile home. It's an older mobile home, and I've lived here for like 6 years, and I've never drained the water heater. So I was wondering, what is the proper procedure for doing that, as well as where do I drain it to? Can I just put it out on the driveway and, you know, into the gravel there? Or, you know, I mean, is it going to kill plants and stuff like that or what?
Very good question. Okay, you cannot buy a water heater without the instructions on it stating to at least drain it once a year. Chris, why are they asking us to drain our water heater once a year?
It's to get rid of the sediment that builds up inside the water heater. And okay. It's just a maintenance.
All right. And let's go through step by step how you would do that if you're a homeowner.
Okay. So if you do it on a regular basis, you don't actually have to drain the water heater. Just hook the hose to the bottom of the water heater, the hose connection there, and then turn that on. If you haven't done that in 6 years, you may have some problems with heavy sediment down there now, and you may or may not actually be able to flush that water heater. If you're looking to drain the water heater, then there's a few more steps. Then you want to turn the power off, hook the hose up, and run it for a little bit, and then turn the water off, and then allow the water to drain out of the water heater. You'll have to open a faucet probably inside the home also to allow the air to go into the water heater as you're draining it.
So we're trying to create atmospheric pressure inside the lines. I know a lot of people that just pop their pressure relief valve open to put the air in the tank.
And that's great. If you look on the manual, too, that's supposed to be tested once a year. And for safety reasons, you should. But I can almost guarantee you that will probably leak afterwards, and you'll have to replace that temperature and pressure relief valve.
When you test it, it never reseals. Very seldom.
I can't say never,
Yeah. Very, very seldom does it ever reseal. But it is probably the most important piece of equipment on the entire water heater.
It is.
Okay. So we're going to take this water heater that we're going to drain, and we're going to connect a hose to it. Yes, Jim, you can drain that anywhere. So that's just water. It's not toxic. There's nothing wrong with it. It's not going to kill the plants.
If it's hot, though, I don't recommend it putting it on a plant because that can kill the grass. That does happen.
Great call. Make sure the thermostat's turned off, the power's turned off, the gas is turned off. Let the water heater get to more of a room temperature. Connect the hose, put it out to wherever you want to drain it to. Open a hot water valve somewhere in the house, open the drain valve, and let it drain. And I promise you, in 6 years, there's enough sediment down there, Chris. You can back me up on this or correct me. There's probably enough sediment there that you're going to think something's wrong because nothing's coming out of the hose.
Yeah, because the drain valve might be clogged up.
Completely clogged up. So what you might want to do is disconnect the hose back at the water heater, have a coat hanger straightened out, open the drain valve, and then run that coat hanger in and out and be prepared for the water to start falling out all over the floor. That's the other thing. If I were king for a day, I would change the codes on water heaters. They all have to be installed 6 inches off the ground. Give me something above the ground so that when I do want to connect my hose to drain it, I'm not fighting with that pinch right there at the bottom of the line.
Yeah. Or go to a ball valve type drain at the bottom. That's very effective.
take the plastic drain valve hose bib that most manufacturers give you. Before you even fill the tank up, remove it, put in a brass nipple, put in a brass ball cock valve, and then put a threaded hose
connector
on the end of that.
Yeah, then that works really good for draining the water heater.
That works a lot better. The one little do-it-yourself project you could do, or the next time you pay a plumber to do that for you, ask them to do that for you. So we get the unit drained with the power turned off, and once it's drained, I usually tell people, now go to the inlet valve and crack that open for 4 or 5, 6 seconds, and let's just finish rinsing that tank out. And I tell them to do it until the sediment quits running out. And I've actually drained water heaters, Chris, that took overnight to drain.
Yeah.
Seriously. I mean, it took overnight for that thing to drain.
Yeah, we just can't wait that long. So we'll either pump them out or do something if we have to drain a water heater faster.
Oh, I know you guys can't do that. But, I mean, that's how bad the sediment gets. It just will not let the water come out. We've taken a couple water heaters we've taken and serviced. I usually ask people, because a lot of times I disconnect them. I roll them outside.
Have you ever taken one out that is empty of water, but it still weighs a ton because you know it's just full of sediment?
Sediment, absolutely.
I've opened them up. We've actually cut them open, and there'll be a foot of sediment inside some water heaters.
Absolutely, absolutely. It would never drain in 24 or 36 hours. So we get it drained. We get it rinsed out. While you've got it empty, it might be a great time, if it's an electric one, to check your heat source, the elements. Check the elements. If they've got a lot of crud built up on them, that's the perfect time to go ahead and replace them. Go ahead and check your anode rod that should be replaced every year. Unless you have a water softener, it needs to be replaced about twice that often, because it's actually corroding it quicker. And that anode rod is what is your insurance against leaks. You properly maintain your anode rod, you properly drain your water heater on a regular basis, I promise you, it's pretty easy to get 20 years out of a water heater. And most consumer guides that talk about lifetime of a water heater tell you between 8 and 12 years. I promise you, if you take care of it, you'll double that. All right. We'll talk more about plumbing and water heaters with Chris Stanfield of Benjamin Franklin Plumbing. We're going to take a quick break here, come back and wrap it all up. If you've got a question for a plumber, now's your chance to get in. Like I say, I think they're the most underpaid trade on the planet, particularly when you have to stand on your head, reach back behind a toilet that's impossible to reach back behind of, the wax ring is leaking, and you're trying to decide what size supply flex is this, and how is it 3/8? Is it 1/2 inch? You guys are underpaid, Chris.
Well, thank you.
Seriously, underpaid.